Let's pray. Father, our hearts are heavy this morning, Lord, due to, Lord, some of our special loved ones. Lord, I realize not everybody has had a chance to meet Miss Roberta. Lord, she's now home with you. Not everybody has met the Purvises, Lord. I've never met the Purvises, Lord. One of our missionary families that the church has supported for many years, but Lord, I haven't had a chance to meet them, though email and things, you get to know them a little bit. Lord, I'm thankful for the faithfulness of Melvin and Susan. They have faithfully served you in full-time service for well over 40 years, 50 years in South America, Lord, here in the United States, and now in Puerto Rico. I pray for our brother as he has many plans and things to do, and Lord, preparing his services, getting family together, Lord, all the while he's still on staff there, Lord, at a Bible college in Puerto Rico. So I pray for strength. Lord, I thank you for his spirit of trusting you and knowing that Susan was yours and that you gave him those many years together as husband and wife. I pray that through all of this that your love and grace and mercy would be evident for those that do not know you. And strengthen Melvin during these times. We pray for Roberta's family, Lord. Roberta is home with you, Lord. We thank you that she's no longer suffering, able to breathe now without oxygen. Thank you that she trusted you as Savior, Lord, later in life, as her husband did. And Lord, I know she dearly loves her one brother and family, but Lord, as far as Roberta knows, they do not know you as Savior. And Lord, I pray that tomorrow during the service, that perhaps for the first time, some will hear a very clear, simple presentation of the gospel. Lord, that it's not by our works, it's not by our religion, it's not by acts and deeds that we do, it's not a road that we travel, it's by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, turning from our sins and receiving Christ as Savior. Lord, what a blessing it would be for you to work in hearts of their family, Roberta's family, Lord, through her death, that some would come to know you as Savior. Lord, we thank you again. We thank you for many in our church family who are going through sickness and challenging times. I'll not mention names. I'll forget a few. But Lord, I pray we'd be faithful in lifting up our church family by name, specifically praying for you to work in healing, for salvation, for whatever the need may be. And I pray that, Lord, we would encourage by visits and phone calls and doing all we can to be a blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity now to come together on this Sunday morning, Lord. I pray that we've come to worship you. I pray that you would be glorified. I pray, Lord, that you would help us through our praises, our testimonies, our listening to teaching and preaching today, Lord. All would be done to honor and glorify you. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, well, here on Sunday mornings, at least up through July 2nd, so we have a run here, maybe four or five Sunday schools in a row. No missionaries, no special speakers, and nothing going on there. And then we get into summertime. We're going to have some different men be teaching the classes, and I'll be in there as well, different things. My wife will probably on occasion have her Sunday school class for young mothers and with children at home, those kind of things. We may have a split session during the summer as well. But over the next couple weeks, we're still looking at the theme of whatever happened to sin. We started that a little bit last week. I'm bouncing off of the two-week Sunday night series I did on a biblical look at homosexuality. If you were not here for any of those or just one of those, I would highly encourage you to go back and watch those, not because I'm a tremendous teacher or you've got to hear me. There are much better, worthier teachers who've taught on that, and there are good books out there on that, but it would certainly help you as I did a biblical look at homosexuality, two Sunday nights, and now I'm coming back, and we're going to continue talking about that in the adult class, because obviously, there are things that are a more sensitive topic there with children and even teens. Not that I don't think teens should not be taught that already. They are already being taught that at a far younger age, no doubt, with friends and things and movies and all of that. Parents need to do that, but there are some things, obviously, that maybe I would not normally say with teens and children in here, and so we're going to be looking at that. But again, I think a proper foundation when looking at sins, be it homosexuality, adultery, fornication, the larger umbrella of sexual sins, whatever, gambling, alcohol. I mean, just you can name the different ones, all right? It's not wrong to teach and preach on those, but I think the proper way to do that is to look at the biblical doctrine of sin as a whole first, getting the Bible foundation of sin, because then when you have the proper definition of sin and you understand what the Bible says about it, then we begin looking at what God says is sin specifically. All right, that's the key, because if you have friends or family that have changed their views, if I could use that word, not that we're interested in you having a view, we're interested in biblical convictions, not views. All right, Bible convictions, and from your Bible convictions come your standards. Hopefully we understand that. Now, there are people whose standards are constantly changing because culture is changing, and that's a person who does not have Bible convictions. They have Bible views. They have thoughts. They capitulate and compromise based on friends, family, what is popular or not, what famous speakers say, and so their standards are always flip-flopping. That's not what you should be doing. You should be developing Bible convictions from the Bible, which are based on God's character, and from them, you come up with Bible standards for you, your home, your family, etc., etc. And those really should be largely unchanging, all right, if not at all not changing, all right? So, but that's going to come back to a Bible definition of sin. Now, sin is a word we use at church. We hear it, but it's not used as much today, and even a lot of parents rarely use the word sin. You know, well, I know there's other, you did wrong. That wasn't right. But we should not be scared to use what the Bible said. That was sin. Now, if your child doesn't know what sin is, then you need to start there, all right? Because you're going to have a hard time getting them to obey if they're not understanding that it's not really sin against mom and dad, it's sin against God. That's what you got to get to. You are sinning against God. God said this is sin, not just mom and dad. Now, mom and dad, certainly you have rules, I hope, and standards that are based on Bible principle. All right, where's the Bible say your child's going to get older, right? They're going to become a wise teenager. They're going to become lawyers and debaters, right? You should remember what you were like and maybe still are. Why? How come? Where does it say in the Bible, chapter, verse, that we can't chew gum in the church sanctuary? Well, where does it say that we can't run in the hallways? All right? Where does it say that it's not in the Bible? All right? And you're right. But the Bible has principles of living, and from the principles, you develop standards. All right? Again, can every school, every college, every church, you want us to give everybody a manual on every rule or list of standards? That if possible. Someone will come up with a new one. It doesn't say that you can't pull out a knife and cut a hole in the pew. Where's that in the church constitution? And you're like, okay, well, we just added that, all right? Oh, but it doesn't say a fork. All right, I mean, you can do all kind of crazy stuff, all right? So you have an overall standard, right, of, well, this is the Lord's house. We understand the church is not a building, but so therefore we're going to have some standards of in here and what we do and don't do, and that compared to the park or compared to our yard or compared to a picnic or compared to birthday party, all right? And there's some things we're going to do and not do, boys and girls, and the stage and jumping off and running on pew. There's some reasons for that, moms and dads, and you teach your children that, and you enforce that, and you show them from the Bible some things. And okay, so but all of that really does come back to the biblical definition of what is sin, what is right, what is wrong. Is there right and wrong? And so that's what we're going to be looking at. We've started on that a little bit. And because that's the key to understanding this, because the definition of sin, according to the world, if they even use that word, is always going to change. And so we can't go with society because, again, we want to go back 100 years. What was wrong when it came to marriage and homosexuality? We know what that was. What was wrong with... What about even television shows, right? You can go back and see that they had standards, what standards of what you could do and couldn't do on prime time and movies, what you could show and couldn't show, cursing and profanity. We should know that progression, all right? You say, well, those were a little cleaner back then, and they had values back then, and we can watch this as a family and not be, you know, there's no cussing, no profanity, no sexual scenes, no immodesty. It's a standard... Don't you love the word they use today, nuclear family, whoever came up with that? The nuclear family. How about just biblical family? The nuclear family, that's a word for there's a mom and a dad and there's children and they're married in a home. Whoa, you know, well, that's a biblical family as God designed it, all right? Yet if you were to watch, right, Leave It to Beaver, like, Oh, my word. That's so... The dad is working, the mom is in the home, all right? Look at how they're dressed, and, you know, dad comes home, and they eat together, and you got the neighborhood Eddie Haskell, and Ozzie and Harriet, and Father Knows Best. Can you even believe there's a show called Father Knows Best? All right? And you watch those there, but that's a marked difference if we want to take the top five primetime television shows today on primetime and watch those shows. Yeah. All right? Most of them have a homosexual character. Most of them have a little bit of everything because you don't want to offend everybody. You have all kinds. Whoa! And we're like, well, what happened? Well, the world's constantly going to change and get away from the Bible. And what was called sin may not be called sin by them anymore. They're going to say those were old-time traditions. Those were things that now that we're enlightened and we've learned today, we know that that's no longer, we don't hold to that today. And so there is no definition of sin. I would say the world doesn't have a definition of sin. And so we're looking at that, but God does, and so therefore God's people, certainly God's people, need to have standards and convictions based on the Word of God and not to capitulate and conform to the world around them, which is always going to be constantly going against God. And so by way of review, we looked at, last week we were in 1 John, we'll not turn there today. We looked at a couple definitions of sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. All unrighteousness is sin. James, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, even right there, we could go around in this room privately and ask you what is good, and we would have different definitions of good in here. So if Norm and Sue say, well, I think this is good, and therefore to him that knoweth to do good, to him it... Well, over here they say, well, no, I disagree. They said that that's good, but I don't think that's good. I think that's actually wrong. So even there you can see that verse... To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Well, you might say, well, I think it's good. Have you never been around folks or even heard people say, you need to watch that. That's a good show. It's a good movie. Like, okay. They said it was. Let's watch it. Now, you might be watching it and be like, whoa, we've had many things recommended over the years. People have been giving us stuff. I remember the one, we were living in Bend Creek, I don't remember what movie it was. Somebody said, oh, it's a really good movie, you guys really like it. I'm like, okay. So, I mean, we couldn't even watch 5 minutes of it. 5 minutes, we're like, oop, okay. I think there was already like four curse words, and you're like, who? Now, I'm not here today to debate, and so you might be like, oh, I don't think that's a big deal. You can't watch anything today. It's not that bad. I'm an adult. We don't know. We delete those, whatever. The point of the matter was, different definitions of good and bad are out there, and so even those will color your interpretation of that verse. To him that knoweth to do good. So all definitions must be filtered through the Bible. If God says it's good, it's good. If God says it's evil, it's evil. All right? And what does Hosea say? There's a time when the world's going to say evil is good and good is evil. And we live in that time, and certainly that is nothing new. So I have a couple of rhetorical questions. Don't answer these out loud. Just answer them personally. Answer these. Because we don't use the word sin a lot today. And you might find that you don't use the word sin much. So that when we say, is this sin? You might be like, well, I don't know if it's sin. Is it wrong? If it's wrong, is it sin? Well, so I got a couple questions. Here we go. These are just rhetorical to stir the mind this morning. Is it a sin? You get pulled over by a policeman. Speeding. Don't you love their questions are not rhetorical. Do you know how fast you were going? All right. Is it a sin to tell the policeman that you were not aware of the speed limit change, though you were? Is that a sin? Or is that just, well, that's just what you do? Is it a sin, well, most of our students are not in here, but is it a sin to your parents say, is your homework all done? Is your chores all done? Is it a sin to say yes if 95% of them are done, but not all of them? Or the boss comes in and says, is that assignment done? Yes. Yeah, I'll get it to you in just a minute. But it's not done? Is that a sin? Or is that, well... Is it a sin to keep money that fell from a person's pocket in a store? Is that a sin? Is it, hey, finders, keepers, losers, weepers? That's in Proverbs, isn't it? That's in the Bible. That's always one we used to do in class, have a logic, you know, discussion debate day. Let's say you're praying for money. God, I need money. I'm going to go to camp. I need money. Please provide money. You're in store, there's a $20 bill. That's the answer to my prayers. No, I'm not here to debate that, but that's a good debate. Now, what do you do with that $20 bill? You just say, hey, I don't see anybody around. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right? You go in and turn it into the AMI. I want you to know I found this $20. It's over in aisle 4. It's got to be somebody's, right? I mean, if it was my $20 bill that fell out of my pocket, I would be a little upset. All right? And I would love to get that back. Or do you say, hey, that's not one thing maybe if you're out in the middle of the woods, all right, and you're hiking around the corner, whoa! I mean, where do you turn that into? I guess there are some things. Again, I'm not here to, I'm just asking you some questions, especially if you have children and grandchildren. What if they asked you that question? What if they said, look what I found? And again, I'm not saying that this is the standard. I remember my mom, I found when I was a boy, we lived right across, we always lived rural. We lived right across from cornfields, but in Steinruck Road, E-Town years ago, and there was a motorcycle club. It's called Candy Lane Motorcycle Club. And you just, they would only come once a month, but a long gravel road up into the mountains there, and there used to be a gate. So we would always walk back there and hike, but as far as the gate was closed. But so we were always back there, my buddies and I, doing stuff. And one day I found something out there. We were, you know, it was just like a little ladies, little, not even a purse, like little change purses ladies used to carry, people would carry a little button. And I don't even know, it had like 65 cents in it. And I remember bringing it home and giving it to my mom and saying, hey, look what I found. Now, you don't have to agree if this is right or wrong. My mom would not let me keep that. My mom kept that thing in like a cupboard for years. The case, no one came back for it, all right? I was like, Mom, this is ridiculous, all right? There's nobody going to come. I don't remember the end of the story. I don't remember. I don't know if Mom would even remember, all right? I remember another time I found something. I think the Bowders would sell corn. I found something at the Bowders and brought it home. My mom had to go back with my mom to take it to them. What in the world? All right, and say, hey, my son found it. It's not his. Little things that bother me. I look back, Mom, what was Mom trying to do? Teach character. Now, you might say, well, I don't think it's a big deal. It's not a big deal if you find it. And I don't even remember the end result of any of those things. And it certainly didn't click in right away because I was a pretty rotten kid, all right, and did a lot of things. But I can think back and remember some character building, at least trying to train and teach your kids. You might say, well, that's not a big deal. You find it. But is it a sin to do that? Would it be a sin if you saw someone reach in their pocket, money fell out? You watch to see if they picked it up. They didn't. They left. Human nature is you look around. Maybe look and see if there's cameras nowadays. All right. And then be like, hey, oh, well. Is that a sin, or would you use a different word or say, well, I don't know. It's one of those gray areas where you just have to, you know. Is it a sin for a believer to use profanity? What about a non-believer? Are there different rules for different things? Is that a sin? Is it a sin if you as a believer watched a show or movie or whatever on any device and it was anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-family, anti-values, pro-homosexual, pro? Is that a sin? Do we even use those words today? Is it a sin? Is it a sin if believer, you went a whole day and did not pray? Is that a sin? If someone asked you, well, I mean, I don't know if it's a sin. I mean, it's not good. I mean, you should pray, but is that a sin? I mean, is that a sin? Is it a sin to not read your Bible? Is that a sin? I say all the time. I mean, sometimes we you might say, I don't know. I mean, I don't like to use that word. Is everything a sin? You see where I'm getting at? I could keep going on. Is it a sin to not be faithful to God's house? You say, well, I mean, we could go on and on and come up with things and discuss, but the point of it is this. What do you consider sin? What does God say is sin? Does your thinking, again, I'm asking you questions and you have to think, but our thinking is sin cursed. Even if we're saved, we have a deceptive heart and mind. And so even our thinking is very likely skewed in these areas, especially if we maybe were saved much later in life, so we had a lot more of the world's influence on you. and ways of thinking and manner of living, and it doesn't mean you can't change, but it's a little tougher, isn't it? Are those things sin, or do we use words like, well, those are weaknesses, or it's just sort of a gray issue, or it's a flaw, or, you know, I don't know, Pastor Bora, I'm not comfortable with you saying sin. That's up to each person. Each person has to decide if it's sin or not. I wasn't there. I can't determine that or not, so I can't say that word. You know, that's sort of the slippery slope of where we're at today in most of society, right? That goes back to the book, and this was, you know, I doubt that man was the first one in 1973 to come up with these things, but again, an unsaved believer, doctor, psychiatrist, said the day was approaching, 50 years ago he wrote this, that everything would be considered sickness, every conduct pardonable, everything would be genetics, biology, psychiatry, reasoning, nothing, no one would be held accountable. No one's going to inherently do wrong. And because we don't want to admit that, then we have to come up with answers, and we certainly aren't going to use the word sin. We're going to have to say, well, what is that? How come that person killed those people? That was sinful. Well, I don't know how that guy or girl was raised. I mean, what if that was an angry home? And those things certainly do affect people. What I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the guy was going through. You know, I don't know why that person did that, or why they left the marriage. I can't say that was wrong. Those kind of things. And again, I'm going to go back to this. Once we've moved away from a biblical definition of the problem, we begin to see the answer as being beyond the scope of Scripture. That's a very important thing. Once we move from the biblical definition of the problem, which we'll call sin, then we have to come up with a different answer than what the Bible has. And that's exactly where we're at. Well, God's answer says this, but that doesn't really match with modern science and technology and thinking, and so we're going to have to come up with a different answer. And so we might even say stuff like this: I'm not sure that the Bible is sufficient to help people. Now, you may not say that out loud, but your actions would show that or not, as the proof is in the pudding. I'm just not sure that the Bible has the answer for every sin today, and I don't know that people can go to the Bible for every area of sin and get help. I just don't know. And that comes back again to the sufficiency of the Scriptures. Or I've got to get answers today that are outside of the Bible, and that certainly does appeal to our sin nature and makes us feel better. If I'm not really responsible for my mouth. After all, my mom was this way. And my mom just yelled and critical and slapped. That's just how I was raised, you know. I mean, it's not gossip. It's not gossip. I mean, is gossip a sin? Well, no, it's not. We're sharing prayer requests, helping to be able to pray one. We discuss others constantly in the church so that we can. Well, no, I'm not, ma'am, may say, I'm not angry. I'm not angry. I mean, I have a temper, but everybody has a temper. Everybody's got tempers, you know, and, you know. Well, you know, we don't use the words. The Bible says you are an angry man. Well, I mean, I do, I'm a little loose on what I watch and look at, but it's just me. I'm an adult. It's private. It doesn't affect anybody else. I look at some things that probably shouldn't, you know, maybe some pornography, some moral stuff, I read some books and things that aren't the greatest, but the Bible calls that a froward person. That's a crooked, perverted person. Anybody use that word? You know, you steal, you're a thief. You're a thief. I mean, that's what God says. You're a thief. and God's word, we don't use those words today. We don't like to use those. Those are harsh. Those are not nice. Make us feel bad. And so we've substituted different answers. That all goes back again to our definition of what is sin. So let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and 3. Genesis 2 and 3. So I want to ask you some things here. And again, I'll ask this out loud. This is not rhetorical. All right. Is there such a thing as sin? All right, 50%. We're split today. We're going to have some problems. Is there such a thing as sin? Again, I'm not here to force you. I need 100% of you saying that, all right? No, you answer on your own. We're not here to get robots, all right? I'm certainly not interested in you reproducing and regurgitating everything I say. I am interested in you believing the Bible. So if what I say is the Bible, then believe the Bible, all right? If it's not, then don't believe me, but it needs to be biblical, all right? So is there such a thing as sin? I think we would say, well, yes. How do we know that? Well the Bible says sin, S-I-N. So, okay, I may not believe where you're going, but okay, I do believe there is a thing called sin. Okay. Now, if there is something called sin, and I believe we agree with that, then that means there has to be a standard of right and wrong. I mean, it has to be. If there's no standard right and wrong, then how can you say something is sinful? You can't say, well, yes, that is. Okay, let me ask you a question. And this is one that you get a lot of different answers today. So if you're not, you can whisper this or not, if you're not confident. Is stealing sin? Now, there will be some who say, well, give me the what's going on. You know, Robin Hood Christianity. Hey, I work for a multi-billion-dollar business. It is wicked and ungodly. They're not going to miss me taking a few things. In fact, I could. Who doesn't do those things? I mean, what's wrong with taking from a wicked thing here and then I resell it and give it to the church? I don't know if anybody does that. But well, I mean, it's you know, again, we get into the definition of today, socialism. Well, I mean, that person has too much. It's not wrong if over here they have a need and you got way too many, then you should be able to take that. It's not sinful. All right? You know, that's not wrong. That's not really a steal. You know, today you get, maybe you have people that you know, I hope it's not you, that talk like that. Well, you know, it depends on the situation. I can't say that that's wrong. I'm not there. I don't know what they're going through. And so, you know what? If their need is so big, then that they got to do it. You know, that kind of stuff. Maybe, I hope it hasn't colored your thinking, but you may have people that you know that talk about that. You may get into heated discussions on that when it comes to government and politics and what we hold to and all those kind of things. But if you agree that there is a thing called sin, then logically and biblically you have to agree then that there has to be a standard of right and wrong, because you can't call everything sin. I mean, if I said, is this sin? Is it sin for the preacher to jump off that? Is that sin? No. That's not sin. I mean, it may not be wise. It may not be dignified. It may be foolish if you did that and then broke your ankle. Okay, is it sin for your child to do that? Well, not, I mean, not, I don't know if it's sinful. It would be if you told them not to. It would be, because that falls under the definition of honor your parents and obey them. So if mom and dad have said, then that would be sin. Though there may not be a verse about it, it doesn't mean that for everybody that's a sin. So we got to understand there is a thing called sin, and sin then dictates that there has to be a standard of right and wrong, and that when you violate that, that's sin, and when you don't violate it, then that's right. And that's where the Bible, we have righteousness and unrighteousness. Right living, right thinking, wrong thinking, right actions, wrong actions, unrighteousness, righteousness, sin. So sin is mentioned constantly in the Bible. So then, wait a minute, if there is a thing called sin and there are right and wrongs, do those right and wrongs ever change? That's where we're getting down to the doctrine of sin, and that brings us up to what we would call a standard. There has to be a standard, you know, right here. This is not the standard in all the world, though, is it? This is the standard of measurement in the United States, whether you love it or not, or you travel a lot and you say, why don't we have metric, or how come we have something metric? But the standard of measurement in the United States is basically the inch, feet, yard system. Though I know there gets some wacky stuff there that are back and forth. And so probably everybody has one of these somewhere in the desk or at home. And you know, yes, you can eye things up and say, it looks like it's about 4 inches, or I think we can all do that. But if we really want to know what it is, we say, well, you say, well, I think I need a board, 8 inches. Well, let's see what this really says. 9.5. Oh, well, I thought it looked like 8. Well, you're wrong. Well, why are you wrong? Because the ruler says 9.5. It's not up to each private interpretation. This is the standard. Well, maybe this is wrong. Okay. I'm sure there are some that are wrong and some that are not straight. But this is the standard. That's the inch. That's an eighth an inch. That's a quarter inch. That is 12 inches, which is a foot, 3 feet and a yard, 1,700. Yeah, that's the standard. That's the standard. I mean, you got to use this. Everything's compared to this. All right. Well, what's the standard? Is the Bible. The Bible is the standard of right and wrong. It's not the world. It is not even your family values. It is not even you personally. It is the Bible is the standard of what is right and wrong. If God says it's right, it's right. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. If God says it's sin, it's sin. And that goes, again, you see, as you start digging, there's different layers. Doctrine of sin, but doesn't the doctrine, what precedes the doctrine of sin? The doctrine of God. Because if you believe God can change, then sin's definition can change. So you see how important it is to know the Bible and know God. And so, yes, Bible doctrine is important. And that would be, that's why it would be not a bad thing for some of you, maybe even older men and women, to take a good, sound, fundamental, biblical online course or two. Say, well, you know, we can't teach everything here. We try in Sunday school, we have different things, but, a good concentrated thing on the doctrine of God, because the doctrine of God then, God's eternal, he's unchanging, he's immutable. Well, from God comes his word, and from his word comes the standards of sin, and from then comes the salvation, and everything else flows from that. So you can see how, is homosexuality a sin? It's not a sin just because you think it is. It's not a sin just because you think it's gross and unnatural. So it can be gluttony. So it can a lot of things. It's not a sin just because it churns your stomach. It's a sin because God says it's a sin. It's not a sin just because it's been in the books for years, or because America said it was, or because another country said it was. It's a sin because God said it was a sin. And then it goes down to, so does that ever change? That's the question. If it was a sin, and we know it was, Old Testament, does that change today? Is God, did God not realize that 2023, there'd be different values, even in churches? Is it true that you can be born that way? Because if so, then that makes God a bully. That makes God mean and hateful and harsh. That makes the Bible, throw it in the dumpster. So all of those things come into play. I know it may sound easy. Let's just talk about homosexuality, sin, that's it, boom, it's all over. But if you have friends and family and people who you love dearly who may say they're into that lifestyle, or they were born that lifestyle, or they've gone that lifestyle, it's not enough just to walk up and say that sin, boom, boom. You have to be able lovingly to give them Bible truth, and you've got to be able to give them the foundation of all of that. Really, it comes down to God, sin, what it is. It's not just us, the church, boom, all right? Is adultery sin? Yes. Is fornication and morality sin? Yes. Is lying sin? Yes. I mean, sin is sin. I mean, it's always sin. It's always sin, all people, all nations, all cultures, all time frames. It doesn't change. Now, there are people that don't believe that. Maybe you don't. Well, I don't know about every person and every group and every place. That goes back then to the Bible and God. Well, I mean, but what if you were raised in a Muslim family? You were born in Saudi Arabia, and all you knew your whole life was the Quran, and just like some people, Christianity. That's all you've ever known. I mean, you didn't even know there were anything else. You memorized the Quran, you do everything, the five things, boom, 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 Mecca, the whole nine yards. You believe it, jihad, everything, the Western world, America, great Satan, blah, 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 the Jews. That's just how you were indoctrinated as a kid. Your parents taught you that, your grandparents taught you that. That's all you've ever known. You've never heard a presentation of the gospel. You believe Jesus is a prophet, blah, 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 Allah, all that good stuff. And so, you know, what's taught in Muslim doctrine, you know, as far as different things with women and children and what you can do to someone who leaves the faith, that's just what you believe. You might say, well, it can't be sinful for them. They don't know that. You know? I mean, but in their culture, that's okay to do that. Their holy book says that's okay. All right, or that's normal, or Mormons, polygamy, or it's okay to do this, or and I was going to read from this. I don't really have time today, but again, I highly recommend. I think you know that reading biographies, Christian biographies, especially. Oh, I like reading all kind of biographies, but especially Christian biographies. You can get value from non-believers. I like reading biographies of athletes and coaches and presidents and historical figures and military people, and you can get value from those. But you get lots of value when it's a believer. And Christian missionary biographies are excellent. I have always recommended this in one of my top books for teen girls, but I like it as well. Isabel Kuhn, I've referenced this before. If you're not, probably not one of the top 10 famous missionaries you've heard of, but Isabel Kuhn. And tremendous book, though. She was called, even before she was married, to missions, and she went to China. Now, I wouldn't call her a modern missionary, but this is more modern than the famous ones, Judson and William Carey and Hudson Taylor, David Livingston. She probably passed away in the 70s. So, a newer missionary, all right, if I could put it that way. So, what do you do? She got married, and then they went up into what would be today probably the mountains of Nepal. Maybe that wasn't the exact country. High mountains of China, Nepal, India, way up there. There's a group of people called, I'm probably not pronouncing this right, the Lisu people. It's like L-S-U-I or something. It's a group of people that had never really ever been reached. I mean, thousands of years of just darkness and pagan. I mean demonic people. I mean, the superstitions and the things they believe, you can read about some of them there. I mean, no one had really ever even gone there. No one even said that those people could be reached. I mean, the stuff that they did, they believed in. Witchcraft and Satanism and demonic things. And I mean, just ritual killings, and, you know, the kind of things that you read about sometimes with India. About, you know, twins are born, you kill one because that's evil, or one child is different color, and just no one can reach those people. They could kill you. They can't even. They speak different languages. They live like they're primitives. They have no clothes on. I mean, they have demon things. You can't go there. They went there. Now, what do you do as a missionary when you go there? Do you say, "This is their culture"? I mean, I'm not going to speak on sin, am I? I mean, this is all they know. I mean, if you want to steal someone's wife, you steal, that's not wrong. If you want to go over there and steal their animals, you steal them. If you want to kill somebody, that's not wrong. What do you do when you go into there? Do you say, "Well, I dare not. Or the goal of missions is not to make people Americans or Europeans. It's to make them believers, Christians. And so it's fascinating. If you don't read missionary biographies, this would be amazing to you. But you need to read about those folks. What do you do when you go to cannibals? I mean, if you were raised in a cannibal village, I mean, how's that wrong? If you were 15 in your entire life, all you've known, that's just everybody does that. Your family, your parents, what's wrong with that? You know. What about the Auk Indians that killed Jim Elliot, Nate Satan, the guy? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You kill people. They're coming into our village. You kill them. Is that wrong? Was it wrong to kill people? All right. Well, what about even the Indian, Native Americans? We talk about Native Americans. This was their country, and all that kind of stuff, and I'm sure there's right and wrongs. But, I mean, don't you know what Native Americans did to one another? I mean, they go pillage, take the land. I mean, was that sinful? Was that wrong? Right? Going to go over there, take their stuff, take their land. We won a great victory. We killed people. Look what we did. Is that sin? So I want you to think about missions. And do we go in and try to tell them what sin is? Do we just say you need to be... How do you tell them they need Jesus? You need Jesus Christ. Who's Jesus? Jesus. Why do I need to be saved? You have to start at sin. What's sin? Well, and by the way, it's wrong. At a lot of the birthday parties up here, and that they did birthday parties. They would involve alcohol and whiskey, and the missionary came in and said, "No, no alcohol, no whiskey." Why not? No, we don't do that. It's wrong. No, we don't do that. And one time, I will read this one page. They had some tribal leaders came up to meet them. It was one of the first times. A bunch of tribal leaders came in, town fathers, bringing gifts. Two white people have come. Let's go meet them. "We welcome you to Old Market. wish to you to join our, we want to join your new religion we've been hearing about. We see the new honorable pastor does not drink nor smoke. This is a fine thing. Also, we feel Buddhism may be out of date and we want to learn new things. So Isabel Kuhn served them tea. They sat down. John began to explain. All have sinned. Yes, yes, it is so, they said. They raised their eyebrows. Was not the new pastor wise? Truly, tobacco led to coughing and illness and yellow teeth. Wine led to indiscretion and even violence. We agree. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, John quoted. And the men began to stir uneasily. Idols should go. We don't need them. They held a nice little discussion. Yes, Jesus of the Christians was much like Confucius and Buddha. Good man, great teacher, man from God. We can do that. Then John, Mr. Kuhn, dropped a bomb. That's not new vernacular, all right? Christians may not worship ancestors. We may respect their memory, but we dare not worship them. Uh-oh. What? Not worship ancestors? This is the basis of Chinese civilization. The men rose hurriedly to leave, embarrassed and pained. No. No ancestor worship. Sorry, all right? Well, how do you go into that? That's wrong. That is sinful. No. One wife, one husband. No. That's not how we do stuff. You see that? You take it. Nothing wrong with that. God says sin. What God? I mean, you ever think about mission work? Well, lots of gods. One God. How do we know that? God created all this. It's sin. It's wrong. No. You think, but today, a lot of that you got to teach even in America, don't you? It's one God. His word. All that. No, come on. Not one of those Bible thumpers. All right. You can't have any fun. Thou shalt not, not, blah, 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 blah. All right. Sin. Don't you know what sin does? God loves. And we go back to what we would call the basis of sin. There has to be an unchanging truth. Yes, there is a standard. And does that not lead us to the verse that we probably all memorized? Romans 3:23. Say it with me if you know it. For all have... Let's do it again. For all have... And come short of the standard. I mean, that's the foundational verse in the Bible. All have sinned and come short of God's standard. God's standard of heaven is no sin. No sin in heaven. Never has been, never will be. Want to come to heaven? No sin. Well, that's impossible. We've all sinned. You're right. And we've all come short. Mm-hmm. Well, then what's next? Wages of sin is death. Concept, you got to start there. Not just for salvation, but for a doctrine of sin. We're all sinners. Romans 3:10 even says, there is none good, no, not one. Whoa. We've all sinned. The whole world is guilty before God. I mean, the concept of sin, before we want to just jump on specific topics, is homosexuality a sin? It is a sin. Why is it a sin? God says it's a sin. Where does God say it's a sin? Old Testament and New Testament. But I thought people were born that way. Well, but are there people that believe they were? Yes. Are those people evil and wicked any more than you and I? Not necessarily. Are there any people misled? Uh-huh. Are there a lot of people that probably don't know? Uh-huh. All right. Next week we'll compare the two. We're going to compare adultery and homosexuality. Is adultery a sin? Mm-hmm. Do you think everybody in society believes it's a sin? You think if you asked 100 people, they'd say adultery is a sin? You say, well, why is it a sin? Well, that's easy. God said that one. I mean, that's in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So that's a sin. But is it really? Why is it a sin? Could you, seriously, I'm not meaning to be mean. Could a person not say that they were born a daughter? How could you say that it was wrong? How could you could not say it's okay for the one and not the other. There's no proof either way. I mean, could you not say you were born a murderer? I mean, seriously, I'm not being mean or facetious. I'm just taking us down the logical road that if you say that, which there is no proof, then you can't say that you can't be born anything. How could you say you could be born one thing but not another? How would anybody know? therefore that would make everything okay. You're not really susceptible. You were born with an alcohol dependence. You were born attracted to little children. You were born, again, I'm not being mean at those who say that. I believe many people have been misled on truth. But once you go down that slippery slope, everything's open. And you either have to have a Bible definition of God and the Word, or you have to begin to open that door to anything and everything, which is what we see in modern America today. All right.